Well, we made it. We made it. After all these years, after this long journey, after blood, sweat, and tears, welcome to First Baptist Church at the Fields. We are officially here. And what a journey it has been. Okay, so right from the start, here from the get-go, I want us to do something. I want us to declare the words of the psalmist together. We're going to put these words up on the screen, and I want us to say these words together. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. We commit ourselves as a church to these words. We commit ourselves as a church to seek the Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus, and to walk in the Spirit of God. We declare that this place does not belong to us. This place belongs to God. We declare that this journey that we have been on together has been under His divine leadership. We promise to proclaim the truth of God's word from this place. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given unto mankind by which we must be saved. We commit ourselves as a body, as a church, to seek Him, to lift up His name, to worship Him, to walk in the Spirit of God. We renew ourselves as a body, and we commit ourselves to the Lord and His leadership. And we say, Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done in Carrollton as it is in heaven. And we declare all glory to God alone because He alone is worthy. And we believe that there is even more to come. We've been singing that. We believe there is more to come. This year we talked about the kingdom of God all year long, and we've used this definition that the kingdom of God is God's rule and reign over all creation, including my life. And we're going to keep talking about it. In light of today and in light of the coming days, I want us to think about the church. I want us to think about the church, the kingdom of God made visible. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. Because I can tell you this, we want to be a New Testament church. A lot of times people will say, oh, they're just trying to take the church back to the 50s. We are not trying to take it back to the 50s. We're trying to take it back 2,000 years ago. Not back to the 1950s. Back to the early church. You know, the church is not a building. The church is a people. You are the church. The church showed up this morning. The church came today. So it's about being the kind of people that we are called to be and that we need to be. So in order to do that, we have to look at the early church. We have to understand about the early church and seek to adopt the plans of the early church and the strategies of the early church and the principles of the early church. And over the next several weeks, I'm going to be laying out some important matters for our body, for our congregation. And we're going to be talking about the kind of church that we must be. It's not something that I think that's optional. It's the kind of church we must be. And I want to ask you to commit to be here every Sunday, to be here every single week, because I want you to hear about the future of our church and your role in that future. But today's first day. The first day. Do you remember your first day of school? For some people, that's happened this week. It's been a back-to-school time. But you know, when you go to school, that first day of school, it's exciting. It's kind of frightening, especially when you're going to a new campus. It's kind of can kind of make you kind of nervous. You know, when I was growing up, I showed up on that first day of school, and I looked brand new. Like, I looked like I just rolled off the school kid factory line, all shiny and new. You had a big breakfast that morning. You couldn't finish it because you were nervous. You had on new clothes. You had on new tennis shoes. You had just gotten your hair cut. You got your brand new backpack. You had your Big Chief tablet. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you are going, I don't know what that is. You had your pencil sharpened. But there's one thing you didn't forget. because it was going to be the talk of the day. It was going to be the discussion topic at lunch that day. And that is your brand new lunchbox. That was it. Now, when I was growing up, you had different kinds that people brought. Some people brought this one right here. Evel Knievel, the greatest superhero of all time. Some of you may have had this one, the $6 million man. We can rebuild him. We have the technology. Some of you ladies might have had Holly Hobby. How's that for a throwback? Christy apparently had the Holly Hobby one. So some of you might have been really like super cool and you had the Fonz. That was really cool. Some of you might have had the Archie comics. Remember that? Archie today is pronounced Riverdale. That's how you say it today. Riverdale. And then this is a great one for some of you folks. The Welcome Back, Cotter. Back when television was fantastic. But I had one that I still remember. And it may not seem very cool today, but back in the day it was cool. I'm talking about the Barry Gibb lunchbox with a Bee Gees thermos. I had this one. I wish I had saved it. I was jive talking back then. Now, young people, you may not believe it now, but your response to Barry Gibb will be the exact response your kids give to Justin Bieber when you are older. Man, that day, that first day was exciting at school. Well, today is our first day. And what an exciting day it is. Just this really is a vision come true. And this vision began a long time ago. I remember on August the 2nd when I first stepped foot on this campus of 2001. I remember it well. We had to hop the curb to get up on this campus. And here we are after all these years. Now, this hadn't been the journey that we expected. I mean, the look of the building, this is not what I thought we were going to be building. But man, things have changed. Our culture has changed dramatically. People are different today. Politics are different. The way people do church and view the church today are very different than it was in the past. And yet here we are today. We come to a new building. And a new building and a new opportunity, it requires some new ways of thinking. And there are going to be some new things that we're going to be doing. Those new ways of thinking are both practical in nature and theologically true. They involve our attitudes and our priorities. And so I want to challenge us on this first day to really manage our expectations, to manage our expectations for the coming days and weeks, because things are going to be new and things are going to be different. And you have to be ready for new and different. And not everything will be done the way that we did it on the Josie campus. And also not everything's going to be done the way that we've been doing it here on this campus the past 3 years. And all of that is okay, as long as we keep our priorities and we focus on our priorities. We want to be a church for those who aren't here yet. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some of those priorities for us as a church. And we have to be flexible. We're sharing space, and that's fun. There are going to be a lot of groups using a lot of the same rooms, and there's going to be turnover in the process during the week and on Sundays. It's part of being a family. That's how it works in a family. In a family, you share space. You share space in your home, and we're a family, and this is where we come together as a family each week. And we're bringing those two campuses together for an even greater opportunity, I believe. And like I said earlier, I just really want to encourage those of you right here in this room with me and those of you who are watching us right now, I want us to be a family. And I want our families to blend and to connect. But what that means is that we have to get involved in the life of our church, not just on Sunday mornings, but to be a part of what God is doing in the life of our church throughout the week. And I want to invite you to get involved. I want you to dive in head first. I want you to introduce yourself to people you don't know. And if you find out that you already knew them and you just forgot that you knew them, that's okay. Meet them again. Introduce yourself. We want to get to know each other. But let's blend our family together in a way that honors God, honors our King, and makes us more effective in the kingdom of God. So I said, we got to manage expectations. We've got to be flexible in the process because things are going to change and things will be different. But hey, everybody needs a little flexibility and change in their life. That helps us to stay young, helps us to stay healthy, helps us to stay vibrant. I don't know anybody that's been part of our church that says, you know, I'd really like to be a part of a dead church. Nobody wants to do that. We want to be a young, vibrant congregation reaching people for the kingdom of God. Now, here's what's critical. We have to focus on what's most important. And today, that's what I want to spend the rest of my time talking about. Today, we're talking about the first day, which draws my mind back and our attention to Acts chapter 2. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to put the verses up on the screen as well that will help you. But Acts chapter 2 is our text today. And we're going to be here over the next few weeks in this chapter. And that's because this is a great chapter for us right now. Acts 2 is really, I think, critical in us as a church to really look at what's important for us as a body, as a church, because we see the early church here in Acts chapter 2. And it's something that I think we really need to keep in our focus and really keep clear before us because of all the things that have happened here and all the things that happened in the text, all the things that we're going to see that will happen after Acts chapter 2, and all the things that are going to happen within our body in the coming days and weeks and months. All the newness, which we know will one day wear off, and all the changes, and some of those changes we may like and others we may not like, and all the opportunities to reach new people. There's some things that we've got to have happen. In fact, there's one thing that we've got to have happen. You see, you have shown up today on this first day, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you came. And we anticipate many, many more people showing up here, not just today, but in the coming days and weeks. But above all those things, more than you and me showing up here, more than people from this community showing up here, more than anything, we need God to show up in this place. More than anything else, we need God to show up. Don't you agree that that's the most important thing that happens? Now, I've chosen this passage because of this day. It reminds me so well of the birth of the early church. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, I don't know if the original language translates to they were all together on one campus, but the Brent International Version does, okay? So, Pentecost was not a place. It was a festival that took place on the 50th day after Passover. It was considered to be the anniversary of God giving Moses the law on Mount Sinai. And on this particular day, it would not be the giving of the law, but this would be the day of the giving of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were all gathered together. Verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So here we see the manifestation, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit of God, God pouring out on his people. Now the Spirit was at work before this. He was active in creation. He's active in the Old Testament. He was active in the ministry of Jesus. This is not about the invention of God's Holy Spirit. This is about a change that was taking place. Now the Spirit would dwell in people, not just on them. Now the Spirit was permanent in people, not temporarily. So this marks a new avenue in God's relationship with mankind. Now, in the Old Covenant, God's divine presence rested on Israel, spoken of more in corporate terms, you might say. But now God's Spirit was resting on individuals. A new covenant had been established by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, us entering into a personal relationship with God through Jesus being filled with His Spirit. Now, today we come together as a body corporately. But we must also come before God individually. And that's what we must be reminded of today. Yes, the Spirit of God has come and the Spirit dwells in the lives of people. But I've got to ask you to look at your own heart today. Has the Spirit of God come to dwell in your life? Have you experienced the power of God blowing across your life? Have you allowed God to show up in your life, to work in your life through His Holy Spirit? That only comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got to experience that personally. It's not about just being a part of a religious organization, being a part of the church. It is about a personal relationship with God through Christ. That must happen for each and every individual if it's going to happen for the church. We need God to show up in this place. It makes me think of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. What Isaiah is crying out there in Isaiah 64 needs to be our cry as well. God, we just built this building. Rip open the roof and pour down. Open up the sky and pour down on this place. Pour down on this community. Pour down on the city of Carrollton. And don't let anything get in the way. God, we want to be open to you, and you are welcome in this place. So open up the floodgates. Pour out on us, because God, we need you. And like the early church, we need you more than anything. We need God to pour out upon this people, upon this body, right here in this place. Now, you probably know many reasons why we need God to pour out. If you don't, just turn on the news, and you'll know very quickly why we need God to pour out, why we need God to pour out upon individuals, why we need God to pour out upon our homes, why we need God to pour out upon our church, why we need Him to pour out upon this community that we live in, why we need Him to pour out in this country and around this world. But why, as a church, do we need God to show up so desperately? Well, let's look and see what happens when God shows up. When you read Acts chapter 2, you get a small taste of what happens when God shows up. It's not everything, but it's some really important things. The first thing is disciples or followers of Jesus Christ are empowered. You are empowered when God pours out and God shows up in a great way. Look in verse 4. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit is often misunderstood. But you need to know, as believers, that is where we find God's power for living the Christian life. It is being filled by the Spirit of God that empowers our witness, it empowers our work, it empowers our faith, it empowers our service. It means we are controlled by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Spirit of God in our everyday life. Letting God have complete control of our life. We tend to have a philosophy of Jesus take the wheel. All right? That is, my life is about to wreck. Jesus take the wheel. One of the great ways to lessen or prevent life wrecks is not to call on Jesus when you're about to wreck. It is to say, God, I want to walk in your power and in your Spirit every single day. God, I want to walk with you every day. I want to yield control of my life to your Holy Spirit. And that is where spiritual power comes. And we must commit to being a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led congregation. If we don't do that, then it's all on our own power. And I got to tell you, I love every one of you, and I love myself, but there is no transcendent power in you or me. It is only through God, God's work in our lives, in your life, in us as a body. It is through His work, the Spirit of God. That is where transcendent power comes to enable us to live our lives, to walk in that Spirit, to walk in power. So let's commit on this first day that we're going to be a Spirit-filled church. But to do so, you've got to be a Spirit-filled follower. Individually, if we're going to do that corporately as a church. So we see that's where the power comes. Now let me tell you something else that happens. When God shows up, the gospel is explained. The gospel goes forth. The gospel is communicated where people can understand it. Now, if you read on in verses 14 to 35, we're not going to read all of it right now because that's a long passage of Scripture. But if you read verses 14 to 35, you would see some incredible things take place. In verses 16 to 21 specifically, Peter is speaking to a crowd of people that have gathered there on that day. And he's quoting these age-old promises of God from the prophet Joel. And he ends that section with this verse in verse 21. He says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then Peter begins to explain that salvation. Look in verse 22. "Men of Israel," he says, "listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." That is the message we as a church commit to proclaim. That Jesus came to earth, he died on that cross, and God raised him from the dead, and he offers new life. We serve a God who offers the good news of the gospel. And let me say this, if you've come here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you need to understand that that is how you enter into a relationship with God. That is how you walk with God. That's how you get filled with the Spirit of God. That is where you experience His grace, His mercy, His peace, His forgiveness. All of that is available to you, but it only comes through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's not about us being good. We can never be good enough. It is all through His work. He offers salvation. And that gospel is proclaimed. So when God shows up, the gospel goes forth. The message of the gospel is communicated. So we as a church body are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We have a message that we communicate, and that message is the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's what's awesome. When God shows up, not only do those two things happen, but lives are eternally transformed. Lives are eternally transformed. In verse 37, the people ask, "Hey, okay, that's awesome. What do we need to do?" And Peter preaches this message, and they're like, this is great. What do we need to do?" they said. And Peter tells them, "Hey, you got to repent and be baptized." In other words, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that about 3,000 were added to their number that day. When God shows up, lives are transformed. I want to be part of a church where we're seeing people get saved and baptized. I want to be part of a church where we're seeing people's lives being totally transformed. People who were in horrible places finding the wonderful truth of God's word. Oh, how we want to see people come to faith in Christ to find fulfillment and peace and hope and grace and mercy. I got to tell you something you already know. Our world is in trouble. Our world is in trouble. Our world is in trouble because people are on the wrong pathway. They're on the wrong path. And more in our culture, the culture is saying that the church and the message of the church is wrong. You need to do what you want to do. And more, we're seeing our society fall apart. Which is why we must be a lighthouse in this community. I love this community, but there is darkness all over this community. On the sunshiniest day, there is darkness in the heart of so many people in this community, and we must be a lighthouse. Not because it's about me, not because it's about you, but it is about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and the salvation that is found in Him. And may we be a church that is all about lives being transformed for God, for salvation, for the glory of His name. Here's the last thing I'll say. When God shows up, the church is firmly established. The church is firmly established. Now, I got to tell you, you can just kind of mark Acts chapter 2 because we're going to be there for a little while, okay? You can mark this chapter because we're going to come back to it. Because what we see in the rest of Acts chapter 2 is the church being firmly established. We've come out to a new place. And those who are worshiping in room 1, they have been here. But as we gather together, we have got to establish ourselves. That's what we've been in the process of doing around here. We've been doing that over the past few weeks, trying to figure out where things go. Where do we put things? You know, when you live in a place like living in Josie for so long, you collect a lot of stuff. Yeah, we found some people they were in storage. It's great seeing there. Glad to see us. It's great. But what happens is you start bringing stuff, and some of that stuff got to go to that, you know, trash can in the sky. But some of it we brought over here, and we're trying to figure out, okay, where do we put this? Where does this go? Where do we place all of this? And that's because we're establishing ourselves. But it's far more important for us to biblically establish ourselves than it is to try to figure out where the offering plates are going to be stored during the week. We as a church have to commit as a body that we are going to say, God, we need you to establish us. Which is great because God gives us a first century vision for the 21st century in Acts chapter 2. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple weeks. I'm going to be talking to you about some exciting ministries that we're going to be a part of, that you can be a part of, some new opportunities we have in the life of our church. We're going to be talking about those things, and that's why I want you to be here. But on this day, on this first day, we as a body must commit. We must say, God, we want you to establish this place. We want this place to be known as a place where you can go and have an encounter with the living God. Amen. On this day, we as a body, we must commit ourselves to seeking the Lord, to declare that our lives, our homes, and this building, this place, it all belongs to Him. And we're asking God, God, do in this place what you want to do. God, do in this place what you choose. And as the old song says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. God, do here what you want to do. I got to tell you something that I'm excited about. The scripture says that we can make our plans, but the outcome is in God's hands. That's basically been the theme verse over the last 18 years. We made plans, and the outcome was in God's hands. We made plans for building all these big buildings and all these things that we're going to do way back when, and God says, no, I got different plans. You know, this week I had two pastor friends of mine from out of town who were in town, and they called me and said, hey, can I come right now and see your place? I want to see the new place. And I brought them out here, and they walked around. They saw ooh, ah, all that. You know what they were most impressed with? Sports complex. I said, we may be one of the few churches in America that has the problem that we have. You know what that problem is? Most churches are begging people to come on their campus. We're saying, hey, you got to go home. It's 10 o'clock. All right, we got to go. All right, we got to go home. We have so many people coming to this campus during the week. I was touring these guys around, and they saw people walking all over the place. And they're like, are these church members? I don't know. I've never seen them before. They may be, but I don't know them. And they all said, that's incredible. That's incredible. You see, we had our plans, but God said, I've got different plans. And you know what? That should always be our philosophy as a church. To say, God, we want to do all that we can to do our very best to lead and to march into the future and to go wherever. But God, whatever your plans are, they always overtake our plans. They always are your plans that we want to follow. And so, God, have thine own way. God, lead us where you want to go. We are asking the Lord to pour out on this place. Not for ourselves, not for our name. We are asking God to pour out on this place for His fame, for His name, for His renown, for His kingdom. Soli Deo Gloria, all for the glory of God. Would you bow your head with me today?